Everybody, Chris Webster here to talk about one of the latest supporters to the Archaeology Podcast Network, The Motley Fool. Now, I've been investing in the stock market through various applications for a few years now, and everybody who's listening to this can benefit from that sort of investment for the long-term financial planning. And also, I know the hosts of these podcasts can benefit because as archaeologists, like none of us get retirement, we all have to kind of fend for ourselves. So investing in the stock market is a good idea, but not everybody can do it. And look, we get it. The market is complicated and confusing, and to many of us, it simply doesn't make sense. In fact, where do you even start? Take all of the guesswork out of it with The Motley Fool Stock Advisor. The Motley Fool has been around for over 25 years and has been spot on in recommending some of the world's most important companies before they hit the big time. I'm talking about Amazon, Tesla, Netflix, Starbucks, all before they exploded in value. With their easy to use and super informative service, Stock Advisor, you could join the ranks before they potentially find the next big thing. After all, their average stock recommendation is up over 400% as of April 10th, 2023. And no need to be intimidated by financial jargon or market complexities. As the name suggests, these guys don't take themselves too seriously. Now, finances, that's a different story. Their friendly and relaxed approach has helped over 700,000 people move closer to financial independence, all while beating the market and having fun. New members can access Stock Advisor for only $89 for their first year, a full $110 off the full list price. Don't sit on the sidelines and think about what could have happened. Visit fool.com/APN to start your investing journey today. That's $110 discount off of $199 per year list price. Membership will renew annually at the then current list price. So again, check the link in the show notes of this episode.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 145 of the Life in Ruins podcast, where we investigate the careers and research of those living a life in ruins. I am your host, Carlton Gover, and I am joined by my co-hosts, Connor John and David Howe. For this week's episode, we're not joined by anybody, just the three of us. We have a good outline. I think it's going to be a fun time. What are we talking about tonight, fellas? Connor, what are we doing?
Vikings, my lord.
May I ask why we changed it from those living life in ruins, and now we changed it to a life in ruins and research.
Keywords to try to get our goddamn podcast on top 10 lists in archaeology and science, because for some reason we were not hitting the keywords that were needed to get popped up, because pseudo-archaeology by Kinkilla is beating us on the charts for whatever reason.
Low-hanging fruit, bro.
Low-hanging fruit. And we don't just do the careers anymore. We do start going into research, so I figured we'd hit that.
We don't like the careers.
Huh? Yeah.
Careers are dumb.
People are like, I just want to hear about sites. And I'm like, look, look it up yourself.
You got the internet. Come on.
Yes.
It is. Read Hancock and just get it over with.
Read Hancock, get it over.
We're alienating all our audience here. So
yeah.
Thank you for those who like the career ones.
We'll still do them. But yeah, we do want to talk about research. But
I won't show up.
Yeah, the impetus for this whole thing was I've been cleaning out my Facebook feed, doing some curation of what I'm shown on Facebook, and I'm a part of all those archaeology groups, and I've been leaving them because they've just got so much pseudo-arch, and I saw one post recently that was about Vikings in Oklahoma, and I was like, you know what, we've done a couple episodes recently on Settling of the Americas, and we haven't really talked Vikings. It was mentioned in Settlers of Saruti, in which we use it as like an outlier in the European settlement of the Americas. I was like, you know what? We haven't talked Vikings. The season 2 of one of those Viking shows just wrapped up recently. It's like the sequel to Vikings about Ragnar Lothbrok. You guys want to talk about
Vikings Valhalla or something?
Yeah, season 2 of Valhalla just wrapped up, and a really good show. I was like, let's talk about Vikings. We have something that we can all contribute to.
I do love that we also start with Vikings and then we're going to bring it back to the Americas because we're selfish little bitches and have to do everything about America.
We have to be like, we need to clean the slate real quick.
Yeah.
And also like our audience is probably going to be interested in this. So we want to, this is what we're going to do. So we're going to outline what we're going to talk about.
What we're going to do is I'm going to pull up my 23andMe. And actually show the world how much Viking I actually have, because everyone's like, I have Viking DNA. First off, do you have Cooper DNA? Do you have Shoemaker DNA? Oh, do you have wagon rider DNA? No, you don't. You have Scandinavian DNA, you plebe.
You plebe.
Did not expect it to go this way.
How much Parvo DNA do people have? Ayo.
I have Parvo.
You don't have Parvo. You had it, apparently.
Par for the coast?
Shut up.
Okay, what are you?
So real quick, right?
As is tradition, I forgot my freaking password.
A summary of the Vikings. So Vikings, right? Everyone, there's a romanticization of Vikings in popular culture. Everyone thinks they're warriors, but Vikings are really seafarers and traders. Like baseline, that's what they do. You'll find them originally starting out in Scandinavia. So this is really including like Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Finland. And we're talking about like the late 8th century to late 11th century Common Era or AD. So 700s to 1000s. Did I do that right?
Yes. It just so happens to be around the middle of the warming period, which causes a lot of, let's say, anxiety to be safe around the world. It causes Mongols. It causes the Iroquois to start bashing each other's brains in. It causes the Crusades. Causes a lot of problems.
Yes, 100%. Well, Crusades come later.
Yes, but here's the deal. The medieval warm period that caused all of the crops and shit to fail all over the world made Europe we don't have nothing. And all the Muslims in the Middle East had everything. And they were like, oh, you know what? Day is fault, my lord. And they went and just killed all of them.
Okay, so the medieval warm period for everyone, it's from 800 to 1200. So the Viking period happens like just as the start of it, but ends half midway.
It's almost like the people that were farming in Scandinavia had nothing. You know, they were famining and crop failing, so they had to go steal shit from other people.
Yeah, and Carlton and I were talking about this too. Is like, so in the context, like England's kind of like falling apart. Europe in general is kind of falling apart during this period and not doing super good.
Right. So the Roman Empire in the West, out of Rome, has fallen by the 5th century, 6th century AD, and then it moves to Byzantium, Constantinople, in the Byzantine Empire, Eastern Roman Empire. So like some of those old Roman holdouts in England, France, they're going by the wayside. England is a mix of different kingdoms. Like it's like reconfiguring itself as Vikings or these Norse folks begin to start doing their raids. And it's not doing it out of bloodlust, which is how it's often romanticized. Like these people want farmland. Like that's kind of the impetus. Like Scandinavia, not a great place to be a farmer. Like having farmland is a status symbol. And so that's what they're coveting. And England is rich in farmland and they start raiding. England doesn't unify and they kind of start using Vikings to their advantage. So it's not like these North and there's different Norse factions. So there's factions within the Vikings, there's factions within England and France, and they're all vying for power in one way or another. So it's not a homogenous Vikings versus English. There's a lot more geopolitics that are at play here in which they're using each other really to set up Vikings for farmland. And that's
Northumbria, Mercia, East Anglia, Essex, Wessex, Sussex, Kent, Wales, and Strathclyde, is that the word? They were the kingdoms that existed after the fall of Rome in Britain of like, it was basically warring states and they would fight each other. But while that was happening, the Normans, who were Norse themselves from France, were invading with William the Conqueror. But at the same time, the Vikings and Scandinavian people were migrating from Scandinavia to the northern parts of England.
So the first Viking raids are 793 and the Normans come over at the end of the Viking Age in 1066 and wrap it all up. So it's Vikings from Scandinavia. They're also in France, which is a whole different thing. And then to kind of settle this up, William the Conqueror comes in. He's Norman Viking and he settles everything in England. And that's the end of the Viking Age in 1066. And that's when we start getting to the mid and late medieval period. And then that sets the stage for a unified England.
And Arthur.
Stefan's going to get mad at us because we always fuck up England, United Kingdom. So I think it's England at this point.
England, Ireland, and Scotland, like the whole British Isles is British, is what he said. But English is different than British. Like English is people who live in England. Irish people might debate that they're not part of Britain, the British Isles, but it's technically an island off of Britain, you know, like that.
Yeah. I think there's a United Kingdom.
Yeah. It's not, doesn't include Northern Ireland. Is that correct? Because they're
Ireland proper.
Ireland proper. Okay. Yeah.
So you, yeah, North Ireland is definitely part of Britain.
Yeah.
Of the United Kingdom. Britain is different. Yeah. So the Vikings aren't this like militaristic, holy shit, badasses that show up. It's just a very interesting geopolitical world in Northern and Western Europe. Exactly. And they come in with some tactics like the shield wall that really is able to capitalize on military tactics post Roman Empire in England. But anytime like horses and cavalry really get involved in these battles, it goes south for the Vikings pretty quick. But they are also like larger people generally. We have that from the archaeological record as well as historic documents. We're talking about a group of people that are heavily invested in eating protein, cheese, milk, cattle. And they're like 6 foot tall people that show up to these like early medieval peasants in England who are like 5'5" maybe.
So a bunch of short kings, my lord.
There is some bioanthropology at play here in terms of diet that is affecting the ability of the warrior class. But it's
are we saying that human variation exists between different groups of people? No.
Nope.
I was going to make a cranial morphology joke.
Yeah, this is where I was hoping one of you guys would
you can hit the nail on the head.
So if you measure the heads.
It's like, so if you're looking at heads.
Right. So it's like that was a horrible stutter, and I apologize for those listening. It's a lot. As a theme of this podcast, it's way more complicated than it seems. And also at the same time, like these people, they're farmers and they're traders. They're trying to access more farmland. We also have Viking, the Rurik dynasty took control over territories in the east, specifically with the Slavs and the Finns in Eastern Europe. They annexed Kiev in 882, and that's where the Kievan Rus come up. So they are like Vikings. But they're called the Kievan Rus, and they start using their trading really with the Byzantine Empire. So they're really trying to – they're the first people to really connect directly Northern Europe and Scandinavia with the rest of the Mediterranean world to really create the European sphere of control that we know of today. Like this is where it kind of starts. This is where Scandinavia has entered the chat in terms of being in the political world of the greater European continent.
The first surviving account of a Viking funeral comes from an Arab trader actually who was in Kiev or like in the Slavic lands up there and was trading for furs, and he was trading like silver and gold and stuff with the Rus that were up there. And like they were like, hey, like their chief had just died, and he's writing about it, and he's like, these people are like filthy. They spit into the same like barrel of water that they wash, like they all pass it down and wash. And he's like, they said they're promiscuous and had no dignity or like whatsoever, according to an Arab wealthy man at the time. So like they're probably just people living in the woods. But like they sacrificed one of the slaves to be with the king and stuff like that, and like burned the longship and stuff. And like that's all from an Arabic account, which to your point, Carlton, it's like they've entered the chat. Like you don't think about Vikings and Arabs ever interacting.
Right.
Cool. Yeah. And you have evidence down even in like to Baghdad of Vikings making it down there, at least in terms of trade goods and things like that. I think something we're kind of skipping over a little bit is just the use of waterways and boats is like the most important thing. They're not, like Carlton had mentioned, they're not cavalry. They're not invading large chunks of land. What they're doing is using the waterways and ports to create these trading networks, maybe annexing small areas of Scandinavia, Europe, Britain, etc. But they're not really traveling inland because their strength and their economy is really built on boats, trading, and stuff like that.
Unless it's, yeah, they can get in because the Viking vessels, the longship, is amazing work of engineering because it has a shallow draft in the water. So it only sinks like a couple feet. It has a very like broad hull at the bottom, and it's an ocean going vessel, and it can go riverways. So like unlike other boats at the time, you either had your freshwater vessels or your ocean-going vessels. You didn't have one and all, and that's what the Viking longship was. So they were able to sail out of the fjords in Scandinavia, up the River Thames, down whatever river, the Seine, whatever's in France.
Seine.
Yeah, so they can penetrate deep without changing, and these are small, sleek, like very pretty-looking vessels that can get into deep arteries pretty quick without you noticing them.
They can make it to like the Caspian and Black Sea down the Danube. Like that's super impressive and not something you normally see.
They're light enough to like they can ocean fare, but they can also be carried on like logs and stuff like pretty easily, which I think was going up channels and stuff was like what made them super effective and efficient.
Yeah, going up rivers. And they're single mast ships. Like they're pretty easy to relative to some of those other ocean going vessels. You can make a lot of these, and that's what these Viking traders did, and they come in different forms, and they're just really cool feats of engineering that were really, that was the technology that really allowed the Vikings to capitalize on being connected into this globalized trade system. Yeah, I mean, everyone's seen them, and they're also, they're symmetrical both in the aft and the, what's the front of a ship? That's not the keel, that's the bottom. The prow, so they could like turn around super quick. You could just stop what you're doing, like turn 180 degrees and row the other way, and it's still as effective as you know. They're really cool ships that allowed them, as we've said, and what we'll allude to later, to get to Denmark.
Sorry, prow is the very front of it. Yeah,
they're able to follow to get to Iceland, Greenland, and then very briefly Newfoundland in eastern Canada. So
could you say that the Vikings used their boats similar to how Genghis Khan used horses?
And I think that
that's like they just used it in a way that was never seen before.
Yeah, like a technology that was spread very fast, like effective in areas that it wasn't like endemic to. Yeah,
yeah,
like and like hit and run tactics all over, but and kind of like that. And so were boats. Boats were everywhere. Horses were everywhere. But this is like a new use of it that is so unique that allows them to kind of thrive and expand over large periods or large.
Yeah, it's like the aircraft carrier. You know, it's kind of that same thing. Like it was a radical transition in naval warfare. Like put a bunch of fucking planes on a ship, and now you don't have these major ship to ship battles with battleships anymore. Now it's like fleets.
Mushroom out origins.
Yeah. Now you're just throwing aircraft at each other, like a bunch of darts to a dartboard and sinking them from a distance. And that's how like battleships end. And so like very similar, the introduction of the Viking ship was a radical change in seafaring that allowed Vikings with one ship to trade in fresh and salt water across the Mediterranean and North Atlantic. Absolutely fascinating. And on that note, we'll be right back. We're going to dive into Viking settlements, Iceland, Greenland, and then Canada.
What is up with the New York accent?
Yeah, are we going to dive into your accent?
I've been watching so much Chris DiStefano and then listening to David.
What can you do?
When David gives the terms to the people on Sea of Thieves, it's just like...
I got it. Pretend I'm on a longboat. We're playing Sea of Thieves. What you can do is sink people or you can interact with them. And I get on the fucking prow of the ship and I go, all right, here's how this is going to go. You got two options. The second one, really going to suck for you. The first one, lay down your arms, climb to the top of the sailboat, your crow's nest, raise the alliance flag. You have 10 seconds. And this one New Zealand kid was like, the first one. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I forget how many children play that game, but we just get on there and bully teenagers the entire time. Like, listen. All right, anyways, we'll be right back with episode 145 of Life Ruins Podcast.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to episode 145 of Life in Ruins podcast. We're talking Vikings. We're giggling. We're having a good old time. We did want to continue our conversation and talk about a little bit about the occupation of Iceland and Greenland by the Vikings, except for Carlton's keeling over in laughter.
Yeah, my bad.
No, you're good. You're good. They definitely made it to Greenland and Iceland. Spent some time over there.
Yes. So after getting to England and France, they kept going. They kept going west. There's a couple of reasons for that. One of which is still that desire to find more farmland, as alliances and boundaries are being drawn up in England. There are still groups of Scandinavians who are still seeking farmland and trying to find land that hasn't been quote unquote claimed yet. So we have early, for those that know their geographies, Iceland is a small island in between, small-ish island in between the British Isles and Greenland. And
also one of the only places on earth not colonized by indigenous peoples first. When the Europeans got there, they were the first to get there.
Making them indigenous.
Careful with that
juxtaposition. Yeah. Okay. They get to Iceland in between like 870 to 930 CE. So this is after they're, you know, raiding England in 793 when the first Viking raids show up. So about like 100 years later, they're pretty well situated between 930 and 1200. And they kind of continue on as like the holdouts of non-Christian day of Scandinavians from about 1200 to 1262, right? So like, and there's occupation a little bit after that. And basically in 1262, they become part of the Norwegian rule. So that's when that ends. So basically they come under like the country of Norway, the kingdom of Norway. They become under Norwegian rule in 1262. So they get there 100 years after they start raiding England. But then Greenland's a little bit different. So so basically another 100 years later, in the late 980s CE, that's when we start seeing Vikings in Greenland. And they last there until like the 15th century. Wow. Not a great place to be a farmer. And this is where we, in both Iceland and Greenland, they, especially Greenland, not very green, they struggle pretty hard in their farming practices. They try to go back to like ancestral farming practices in Scandinavia because they're really trying to make it work. It's not as great there. And they are interacting with Inuit in Greenland.
Skraelings.
Yes.
Yeah. So we do have good evidence for that. And, you know, presumably eventually they look a little bit more west. And there are anecdotal things talking about either maps or oral histories about people think reference North America.
Yeah.
Specifically the Vinland map and the Vinland sagas. So there's
Vinland is vaguely made out to be Newfoundland. And then Lonsa Meadows is there, which is confirmed to be a Norwegian or Norse settlement. But it's not quite sure if that's the one that Leif or Torvald Eriksson was at.
And the dating doesn't really line up with what they talk about in their kind of...
In the sagas,
yeah. That's the beginning evidence of Vikings in North America isn't solid to start out with. And there's also another guy, Ibn Norton Horsford, who's a chemist and part-time Scrooge impersonator, who believed that there's a legendary settlement called Norumbega that appears on kind of 16th century maps. And he thinks he found that in North America, made a plaque for it, made a building, really went ham on it, even though there's not really a ton of evidence. But he spent the money and thought it was. So those are kind of the anecdotal evidence of Vikings getting to North America.
Yeah. And just for reference, like the first legit map that we know of that has cartography of Vinland. 1503 by a Genoese map maker. It's called the Canero map. It mentions a site of Vinland in the first time in history. So that's confirmed. So 1503, we do have it. And that's only like, what, 9 years after Columbus gets to Hispaniola?
11 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty quick once Europeans really came in contact with North America. But yeah, there is definitely a confirmed Viking site in Newfoundland. It has a very short occupation. I'm trying to find the date for it real quick. But it's they have burials there, and some of those remains are fucking filled with stone projectile points.
Huh.
So
yeah, so I think the latest
with the locals.
I think the latest dates are the 2021 article that is we'll put in the show notes says that the beginning date of Norse activity is 1021 AD, I'm assuming. And you know, they really only think it, and articles say that they only lived there for at least like 20 years. There's this really
like, yeah, is they working?
Yeah, and we're out.
I think they found coins there.
Yeah. It was very quick. It's at the end of the Viking Age. And also you have to contextualize like how those ships, the Viking longships are great. But the journey from, you know, Scandinavia, you have to go to England, then you have to stop off in Iceland, then you have to stop off in Greenland. Like, it's just not, they don't have the ships meant for that long distance continuous trade, especially in the North Atlantic, which is not fucking fun to sail many times of the year.
No, like the storage is on those things isn't like on those large like boats you have Columbus on or large galleons, you have the ability to store tons of supplies so you can make those long journeys and survive well when you get to the location that you actually get to.
Yeah, you got to drop some of the axes to fit some more water on that ship. So it's probably why they had all those projectile points in them.
Little margin for error with the Viking ships. And it's just, and it seems like predominantly they're using Newfoundland for timber, which they already have access. Once they're like brought into the larger European sphere of influence, like they have access to timber. So like it becomes, they don't need it anymore. Once they're brought in as a European player, they have access to timber. They have access to farmland. Like they don't need people in Newfoundland anymore fundamentally. Yeah. And people have been situated now in Greenland and Iceland for like 100, 200 years at this point. They're good. Like there's no reason to keep going. And especially what it seems like the contact with indigenous First Nations in Canada wasn't very positive. So,
yeah.
Anecdotally, I don't know if this is true. I've never read it, but I've heard this in multiple like history things, is that the Vikings brought like traded in some of the areas milk for like other like goods that the natives had. And like the natives got super fucking sick because they have no enzymes to digest lactose. And they were like, thought they were poisoned by them. So they attacked, rightfully so. Last time I got dairy poisoned, I wanted to shoot someone myself too.
I've never heard that before. That sounds like
a Thanksgiving story to me.
I saw it in like a documentary on History Channel, and usually they're not too off, but like that might not be true. Let me look it up.
Yes, the home of ancient aliens.
You know what? You might be right.
Yeah, that sounds like they all like, you know, hung out together and sang.
History Channel pre-2010 had some good stuff.
But in terms of like who are the first Europeans that we know interacted in North America, it is definitely the Scandinavians with this settlement. Greenland counts as North America. They've known about it. Whatever. Once again, we kind of hit on this several times in the podcast. Like some of the last people to figure out that the Western Hemisphere existed were Central Europeans or Western Europeans. However, that hasn't stopped settlers in the Americas from reinventing how long, in particular, Vikings have been in the Americas. So we kind of want to talk about this because we talked a little bit about Solutrean. This isn't Solutrean, but in terms of like a pseudo-archaeology and pseudoscience and taking these ideas of like what's already a very fascinating, cool piece of human history of Scandinavians interacting with in North America, now they're taking it a step too far.
Yeah, this is what pisses me off. Is like, we have Vikings in North America. Like, for fuck's sake, can we just keep that? Can we just enjoy it? Can we rally behind it? Love it? But instead, we always have to, or people are always going to take that back and apply it for their own nefarious goals and or rewriting history. So just enjoy the Vikings, for fuck's sake.
I see several websites that point to it, one of them being citing a podcast, so we can't say that that's not true. Another one named everythingeverywhere.com. And let's see, there's several when I pull up a Google search, so it may just be a rumor, but like... And
for those people that are confused about what David is talking about, he's talking about the thing that we talked about like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking it up. But yeah, and it does say here on the Vinland Wikipedia page, they traded milk, so... Anyway,
confirm.
I don't know if that one little story is true. We can't say that they didn't get lactose intolerant poisoning.
Okay, that's been established. Thank you for.
Do you think they got gluten intolerant poisoning?
Jesus Christ, gluten. I think it's just if you're lactose intolerant, that assumes the poisoning. Same with
intolerance equals poisoning.
How these big 12 white men came and they gave me gas.
Jesus. Okay, but and so there are things that pop up that are specific to this pseudoscience behind pushing back or reinventing where and when Vikings interacted in North America in particular. It's becoming more prominent in American discourse because for some reason white supremacy has really globbed on to Vikings and the romanticization and mythos of Vikings as this warrior race. And so like it's becoming more prevalent today, this idea. So it's strongly linked to identity. But so as Connor mentioned, there's this Vinland map. And can you, what is the Vinland map, Connor?
So I actually don't have that off the top of my head. David, you know this, right?
The Vinland map? It appears to be a map of a land of vines.
Thank you, David.
Okay.
I don't know what the answer is. Vinland map.
No, you're good. No. Like we had mentioned before.
Look at this map.
Like we had mentioned before, Vinland map is associated with the saga of Eric the Red, Leif Erikson, etc. And it's suggesting and describing locations that could be in North America. Right, specifically.
So 15th century map. And it allegedly shows locations, as Connor said, Newfoundland.
Yeah. So it's, I feel like we went backwards there.
It's a forgery. We figured that out. So yeah, there's the Vinland map. It's supposed to show Viking settlements. It's from the 1400s. Turns out it's a 20th century forgery. So,
oh.
Yeah, it first popped up in 1957 when Yale University acquired it. It was supposed to be this genuine pre-Columbian map. It also shows Africa, Asia, and Europe on a landmass south of Greenland that's labeled Vinland. And it gets tied in because at this point, people have an idea that Europeans had visited that area in the 11th century. But in 2018, it was recently, recently confirmed forgery. The Vinland map is bullshit.
Luckily, there is another thing that has been proven a forgery. The Kensington runestone.
Yeah, classic.
Yes. I first learned about this on the History Channel. I forget what it was about, but it wasn't Curse of Oak Island, but they did a whole thing. I think it was just Vikings in America.
Mm-hmm.
But
didn't he put the runes like as English words? Wasn't that like how they debunked it?
No, so it was modern. It was like, so they brought in a bunch of conifers?
Lexiconaries.
Whatever they do.
Lexiconary.
And the Norse runes were much later runes than what the age was claimed. So basically there's a farmer in Minnesota, or is it Wisconsin?
One of those.
Minnesota Vikings would make sense.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's Minnesota. Farmer finds it, basically like upturns a stump, and in the stump itself is runestone. And using archaeological analysis, one, we know that it wasn't in the ground very long because you don't have the roots aren't leaving the residue that they would have if the stone had been in there for like hundreds of years. Like all the soil markers, everything doesn't work towards that. And then second, when they took a gander at it, It's like, wait, those runes are not from the 11th century or before. Like, those are very much runes that modern people knew of at that time. And I think 1898 is when it was discovered. Yes, 1898. And it turns out the Kensington Runestone, the guy that found it is fucking Scandinavian. And so, like, Minnesota and Wisconsin, those are parts of the United States that were heavily occupied colonially by Scandinavians. And you, if you look very closely, like, the dude that found it, like, actually knew runes. Like, it was kind, you know, he invented this. The guy that found it is the one that placed it. It is an absolute hoax.
If it quacks like a Norwegian.
If it drinks milk like a Norwegian.
There you go. Yeah. But they discovered this and disproved this pretty quickly. It was like 12 years later. We're not waiting to 2018 this time, which is good. But it hasn't been fully not accepted by groups in Minnesota, Wisconsin, et cetera. There's still a museum today that kind of glorifies it.
You can go to the website. It's fucking crazy because the website, it's the Runestone Museum, and they don't mention it's a hoax at all. It's a very it's a bad website. It just says we have the Kensington Runestone in our museum. The runestone and the enduring mystery of its origin continues to be the hallmark of the Runestone Museum. It's like, no, it was debunked in 1910. Wrong. Like, we all know it's bullshit.
It looks just like the Rosetta Stone. The guy was just trying to make a...
I mean, this is the dude's name. The discovery of the Kensington Runestone changed the life of Olaf Ullmann and his descendants forever. Like, the dude is Scandinavian as fuck, and he found the... Yeah, no. It is absolute bullshit, and it is in Minnesota. And many places in Minnesota... And the businesses there do have runestones or Vikings as identifying symbols. Like, there's the Minnesota Vikings. That is an area that was colonized by Scandinavians. I mean, that's the link. Like, these people are bringing their culture with them and trying to, like, set, as we've talked about on this podcast in archaeology a lot, trying to claim ancestry to a place. And that was a way these people were doing it. It's like, oh, look at these Viking runestones. They're capitalizing on the fact that people at this time, after the Chicago World's Fair, where it was becoming more well known that Vikings had got here before Christopher Columbus, pissed off the Italian Americans, but the Scandinavian Americans loved it. And they were kind of seeding the ground, very much like the English did with Piltdown Man.
Piltdown Man. Right,
you know, with the hoax of the first upright, big brained hominid in England. These people are doing the same to set themselves as descendants of this land. They're like, oh, well, we don't feel bad about killing all the natives. Like, there were already Vikings here in Minnesota 800 years ago.
According to my 23andMe, I am 48.7% Northwestern European, and I'm going to use that blood right to say that I don't like that the mascot for Minnesota is Vikings. I want it changed.
Is it Northwest Europe, the English Isles?
I'm looking at all of this, and it says it could be Norway, Sweden, Finland, Germany, France, Netherlands, Belgium, Austria, Andorra, United Kingdom, or Ireland. So
Europe.
How is Norse? It's like Hauger. But yeah, either way, I take offense and I want it changed. And I will tweet that right now.
On that note, we will catch you in the next segment where we
change it to the Minnesota Runestones.
Thank you, David. We'll be right back.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Welcome back to episode 145. We're in the third segment here with me and Carlton and Connor talking about Vikings and Norwegians and people who commit Viking acts of Norwegian descent is what I should say.
Yes. And so the Vikings in Minnesota.
It's like keto. Yeah. It's a lifestyle.
Vikings in Minnesota are like a well-known hoax and like ongoing bullshit issue within popular culture. But more recently, now we got Vikings in Oklahoma. That post I was talking about in segment one, it was talking about like Viking runestones in Oklahoma. And this has spurred this idea that is even like far more fucking far-fetched. So like, how did Vikings get to Minnesota? Well, they got to Newfoundland, followed... Not the James River, the Hudson River. No, what am I talking? I need to look at a fucking map.
Hudson goes down New York. Map, so that makes sense.
Canada.
St. Lawrence.
the St. Lawrence River into the Great Lake, and they could like access the Great Lakes. That's how they got to Minnesota. This theory of how they got to Oklahoma is now they sailed all across the East Coast, around the Florida Panhandle, and like up the Mississippi River. Like now we're adding a, like Minnesota is pushing it. Like it's bullshit, but it's like, okay.
But see, that means though, if they're going through the Caribbean, they're going to come into classical Mayas at that point and be trading with them. So let's look for some obsidian back in Norway.
Yeah.
There'll be these volcanoes there already. But
additionally, like in the Viking sagas, they talk about getting to Newfoundland. Like it's mentioned. And that's where like, well, maybe this is legit. They don't ever mention Minnesota. They don't ever mention fucking Oklahoma. They don't mention, like the Vikings themselves don't talk about it. More importantly, indigenous people of the Americas don't fucking talk about it. You do find groups that do talk about Newfoundland. They're like, yes. But like, so the two groups that we're talking about that would have been there, fucking nothing. They're not saying a goddamn word about it. And this is a case of very similar to what's happening, what happened in Minnesota. The people that are perpetuating these runestone myths or Vikings in Oklahoma are of Scandinavian descent. So it is the same cookie cutter bullshit argument. They're Scandinavians in Oklahoma. And this is being way more wrapped up at this point with white nationalism, specifically in Oklahoma. So there's like a couple places and they're debunked in a very similar manner to the Kensington runestone. The geomorphology doesn't fit. The taphonomy of the artifacts don't fit. And the runestones themselves are not runestones from that age. They're much more modern, much more like Kingdom of Norway kind of runestones. Runestones aren't homogenous.
Homogenous.
Homogenous. Right. Like other languages, like other alphabets, runestones change. And so these are easily discredited discoveries. So but I'm sorry for our listeners. There are no Vikings in Minnesota. The Vikings never sailed the Mississippi River and into Oklahoma either.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is that there's Wikipedia pages with this now. So we have, it's gotten big enough to where they're wanting to write about this in Wikipedia, and they are correctly citing it and saying it's incorrect. These are all been proven false. There's been master's thesis on one of the runestones. So a guy was like, I'm going to tackle this in my master's thesis and disproved it. So they are growing, and I wouldn't be surprised if this grows into other, if it's Alabama or if it's Mississippi or if it's somewhere else like that. That shit didn't
Hawaii, a bit. That ship has sailed to Hawaii. That there is a Hawaiian Viking ship hoax, and this was perpetuated April 1st, 1936 by the Honolulu Star Bulletin, which published a story about a Viking ship discovered in Hawaii, which was accompanied by a photo of the rare find. However, no such thing was ever discovered there.
So like that's because there was a conversation at a bar where one guy said, I hate you Haoles being here on our island. And the guy was like, well, you know what? We were here first, bro. And that's what that started as. Yes. Guarantee it.
And these
and then he died in Pearl Harbor. What?
Possibly. This was 1936. So
may have been a sailor at a bar.
Yeah,
I'm going to hell. That's cool, guys. Pretty good for lying.
Connor has exited the chat. He's dead. We've lost. He's crying.
Guys, the rule of comedy: if it's 10 years later, it's fine to laugh about.
So, but like, even if, but what's crazy about this is like we're like a lot of this stuff because there's not much academic literature on it. There's academic literature, particularly on the Newfoundland stuff, because that is archaeological context that has been studied. But if you just like Google hoaxes, a bunch comes up. But like if you look at the comment section of these web pages, people are losing their fucking minds. Like, no, this is true. This isn't a hoax. And then like the History Channel perpetuates it because there's also this like Curse of Oak Island show. I don't know if anyone's watched it. I can't get into it. Like I usually love dumb shit like that. I can't.
Is that about Vikings? I thought it was about just like to kind of like.
They're recently, one of their more recent episodes, they think they found a Viking artifact.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where is Oak Island, Virginia?
No, that's Roanoke.
Roanoke, right. Okay, so I thought it was a show about Roanoke.
The colony of Roanoke is in the Carolinas, but there is a Roanoke, Virginia.
So Oak Island is in Nova Scotia in Canada. So we're getting closer.
That's not too far-fetched then. I mean, like, is it Newfoundland's right above Nova Scotia.
Yeah, I'd buy it, but anything that deals with the History Channel on that show, it's like,
let's ask the Vice Principal's Canadian Dusty Trombone.
Check out Kyle Dunn again. His Joe Biden impression is
the Vice Principal's Canadian Dusty Trombone guy. Has been killed by trucks.
My fellow Jamaicans.
So the thing with Ireland is that even if they did find something like good right now, like they've put themselves in that corner where there's pseudoscience. So like,
yeah,
it's not easy to get out of it. Like,
right.
Like I've labeled them as such. Maybe it's just me being a dick, but like you kind of made your bed. So now you shit in it or something, whatever this thing is.
No, well, you coined that term. Now you made your bed, now you have to shit in it too. Like that was a Connor. That's a Connor quote. No one says that.
You don't shit where you sleep.
Yeah, you don't shit where you sleep. You don't shit where you eat. That's the.
Just because the green man can't see it doesn't mean you don't fear you, man.
Shit in a toilet or in the woods. Okay,
I'm so mad that that reel got pulled of our turning life and ruins quotes into inspirational.
Why did it get pulled?
Because it had Carly Rae Jepsen's song, and that got flagged as copyright infringement.
Yeah. Should probably post a meme or two here and there.
We were doing it for a bit.
I was.
You were. You both were.
There are some gems out of that, but yeah,
we just need to take the old memes and turn them into reels and then make money off of it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also, Archaeology Life is now a 15,000 person followed page that just takes our memes or they take other archaeology memes.
Yeah, no, fuck those people. I've been ranting about those guys for a while because I went on a try it. Like I messaged him like, dude, at least fucking credit us.
Yeah, this is the official stance of a Life and Room podcast.
Fuck you. That guy in particular. He's an archaeology student too.
Yeah,
like he's out there. If you're at SAAs, bro,
quit stealing our shit.
Yeah, quit fucking stealing our shit. Like Jesus.
Oh, speaking of, I will not be going to SAAs this year due to my feeble state, and so I will not be there as promised. Carlton, you will be there though, right?
I have to be there. I fly in Tuesday and I take a red eye Friday because I have to run a powwow Saturday.
Yeah, I won't be there either.
God damn it.
You can say, you can accurately describe a powwow as a powwow.
Yeah, I'm actually running a powwow.
You just can't refer to like a meeting at work as a powwow, right? Is that the new thing?
I think so. Yeah, that's.
I mean,
I follow a few indigenous creators, and they're like, "You can't say this, you can't say that, you can't say that." And then the next day, it's like reversing that. So I literally just can't keep up. But I want to respect it. What's the stance on Eskimo?
No, we're going to do this properly. Shut the fuck up. We're doing this properly. What do natives think about this sort of perpetuation of Vikings and things like that? Because we have this on the script. Yes.
So actually, I talked with Matt Reed. Maybe like a year ago. So Matt Reed, Pawnee Nation Tipo, you know, because we're out of Oklahoma now. It's becoming problematic where it rears its ugly head a lot, especially in land claims in Oklahoma, where there are people that are like, well, Vikings were here first. And, you know, it goes back to that whole myth of, well, we were already here, so it's not native land. So, no, to my knowledge, I have never once heard an indigenous oral tradition which mentions Vikings in Oklahoma or in the continental U.S.
And they mention a lot of things. They pretty much describe everything.
But Pathfinder was a hell of a movie.
It was. Carl Urban, man. No big deal. Question for us in the audience just to ponder. With the Vikings or the Norwegians getting to North America and Greenland at the time they did, would that not have spread diseases? That could have then spread as well, contributing to the decline of native populations before Columbus?
I think the interactions were different. I think that's why, primarily. Like, one, those northeastern Canada...
More isolated.
Not as densely populated. Based on the evidence of violence and, like, the small and habitation...
Norwegian blood on your face after hitting them with a like a Celt axe, you're gonna get some diseases from that. That is bloodborne pathogens, but to your point, I don't know if they actually spread any.
Yeah, my knowledge of Indigenous geography in Canada is, especially Northeastern Canada, is like really bad. But we do know there was much more continuous and upfront contact and partying in Hispaniola, which was part of a much greater and immediate trade network. And then the Spanish stayed for a long time with much more people.
Mm. So right. Like the impact of like the Vikings is like what, 30 to maybe 150 people like, pop in there for 20 years and then get the fuck out. Like that disease vector is very small, it seems like. Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, based on projectile points being embedded in Viking skeletons, like wasn't very great.
Yeah.
Whereas the initial interaction in Hispaniola was different. And then the continued interaction in Mesoamerica, which was a hub of trade, like that thing. That's when diseases really just kind of spread, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Not to say that there wasn't disease passed along with them, but I just think that the effect on the larger community is probably smaller.
Or it might have happened so long ago, right? Because we're talking about the 11th century, that there might have, could absolutely have been, but it was much more isolated case, and we just won't see it as compared to what happened in, you know, the late 15th century and 16th century, right? Like that was,
and they weren't living in cities as big as Madrid and London and Paris, like to be having that much. Like the Vikings may not have had those diseases on them anyway, being isolated up in Northern Europe. They might have had something because they were in close contact with pigs and cows all the time.
Oh yeah, they had something nasty, huh? That's really interesting. I mean, you wonder what that impact is in the larger scope of things, like. 20 years in an archaeological sense is like nothing, and in human interaction sense is real small.
Yeah, that's a really good like disease vector question of like how do those pathogens spread? You know,
I think you're right. Like in Mesoamerica, it's just there's millions of people.
Yeah,
Tenochtitlan was just done. Yeah. Like there's no stopping that.
Yeah,
I think the correct word is orgies.
Well, if we want to get into Columbus's diary, that's a little dicey.
Yeah. Gets a little hairy.
Columbus was a fuck. You heard your first shit.
The people with Columbus were like, this guy is sus.
Yeah, like they were like convicts that came over. Like those early conquistadors were just not good people, even by European standards. Like they were just.
Did you guys listen to my episode last week?
Nope.
Yeah.
Connor didn't. My friend and I were spitballing this. The conquistadors all came over as entrepreneurs. Like they weren't like soldiers really. They weren't like, they're just businessmen, but also it's like a known thing that a lot of CEOs and businessmen are sociopaths because they have that like cutthroat. So like most of those people, if that holds true, coming over to the Americas were just sociopaths let loose with swords and germs, just destroying North America.
Guns, germs, right. And that goes into that whole context. Like Vikings were looking for land. They wanted to be farmers. And like, if it's going to be difficult to farm, you're going to fuck off. Like, that's why they like left Newfoundland. It was difficult to farm. They're like, there's other places we can farm that are easier. Whereas like, as David mentioned, the conquistadors were there to make money. They were there for gold. And that was the end goal. And they wanted that gold. Yeah. Right. That's the same difference between the relationship with the French and the English and the Spanish in the Americas is like the context in which they're colonizing. The French were like, we're here for natural resources and beavers and we're not staying. And so they made like great relationships with the indigenous as trading partners, whereas like the English did the same thing, but once the Americans got all uppity and wanted their own country, then they're like, well, we want the rest of this place as ours. Get rid of everyone else. I think it's in the Declaration of Independence. Like King George III is not allowing us to eradicate the Indian savages. Like we want to move west of the Appalachians. Like it's like verbatim in this country's like manifesto. Like King George III to fuck off is we want to kill Indians.
I saw that too, that like in the early expansive wars with like Tecumseh and stuff, like the British were siding with the indigenous being like, hey, we told them not to settle past the Appalachians. If you don't want them to do that, join with us. It's like the Americans were like, no, we're going to get them.
they're going to the end zone being California. Like we're going all the way 100-yard line. We're getting to the end zone. No, like it's like, and yeah, North America history is just fucking crazy. I did like that episode, David. And I know we're totally off topic, but I was like really thinking about how like Pawnee land was under New Spain and then New France and then America while also still being half in Spain for a while. Right. Like, territories were in Spain, and then like, yeah, it was just like, I was like really looking, but I was like, holy fuck, like my ancestral territory has been under the influence of like three major, technically four major powers over the course of 500 years.
Yeah, dude, it's wild. And like, all those early explorers like walked up through to like Arkansas from Florida. You just don't think about freaking Cabeza de Vaca walking through Nashville, but he like did, you know, in full plate armor with malaria.
And that's like, where he saw the Memphis.
Word of the indigenous.
That's where he saw the pyramids in Memphis.
¿Dónde están los indígenas? I can't do a Spanish accent.
In the Hennith.
Anyway, yeah. I thought that stuff was fascinating, but it's the same thing with the Viking stuff. Like, you just don't think about that globalism back then, you know, like just how small the world actually is in a way.
Yeah. And I think at the same time in the 11th century, that's when Polynesians were interacting with South America and have gotten to Rapa Nui. Right. And while all this is going on, there are Inuit in Alaska trading with their cousins, the Inuit in Eastern Russia. And like, they have fucking Venetian beads in Alaska at this part. So like, people are still connected. Like, there's still way more going on. That's just not.
Yeah.
We forget. Yeah. It's like North and South America were always connected into this world, but like, God forbid, just, the Spanish
to them at that point, without thinking about it in terms of cartography, it's like, it's just the land that way. It's not like it's a new thing. So when people say like Columbus didn't discover America, I disagree. I think like, for the most of European culture and like the Enlightenment era, like North America was discovered then, because that's when people came in droves and they started mapping it out and stuff.
Well, I think the idea of like Christopher Columbus didn't discover America because it had already been technically discovered for 15,000 years. Like, I think it's a juxtaposition of like, yes, Europeans were now made aware of it, but like, it
was discovered is the wrong word.
Yeah, discovered the wrong word.
Like, full on, like annexed. Like, I guess would be the word.
No, I mean, like, brought it to the minds of Europeans. Yeah,
I think the world became far more globalized when Christopher Columbus brought it into the European worldview. But it was still part of a global cult network. There, people had been here interacting with their regional partners, which were interacting with their other regional partners. So like, there's stepping stones between North and South America already on a broad basis with Europe. So there was already a very long chain of interaction. However, the world became globalized once Europeans, Central Europeans, right? Because we've just established the Swedes already knew about this place.
Southern Europeans, yeah.
Yeah, so like, but Southern and Western Europeans are like, oh, now it's part of... But then there's a whole talk about the Basque and the Basque knowing about...
Who cares?
Cod. Yeah, there's a whole...
Oh my God.
There's a whole and then like Christopher Columbus' wife is Basque, and these Basque fishermen are coming back with cod. Like, there's a whole other like...
Huh, I didn't
undercurrent.
Know that.
Yeah, it's a book called Cod. It's called Cod. Who wrote it?
I want to rephrase that so I don't sound like a white supremacist, but like, if you're looking at Newfoundland, it's a little bit past Greenland with a huge cloud behind it. They don't know anything else there. Columbus, what he did was go way to the middle of North America, Central America, and be like, there's some shit here. And like, then it expanded from there. Not to say that he didn't discover it first, because like, he did discover it first. The other people technically discovered it. But I think that term is just thrown around to be like, Columbus bad. And it's
he forged the link between North America and Europe. He created the potential for a link between those two. I think that's a better way of putting it than like saying, because discovery is
it's a channel.
Laden word. Yeah, it's like they own it because you discover something. Right? Like, that's not something that
Say he was the first to exploit it.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I'll take that deal.
I'll
take that deal. That's a good deal. You take that deal, Donnie? That's a good deal.
I'd make that deal.
So just so people know I'm not crazy, it's called Cod, A Biography of the Fish That Changed the World by Mark Kurlansky. And there's a great quote. Cod, it turns out, is the reason Europeans set sail across the Atlantic, and is the only reason they could. What did the Vikings eat nice in Greenland and on the five expedition to Americas recorded in the Icelandic sagas? Cod, frozen and dried in the frosty air, then broken to pieces and eaten like hardtack. What was the staple of medieval diet? Cod again, sold, salted by the Basques, an enigmatic people with a mysterious, unlimited supply of cod during the medieval warming period where the European fisheries were absolutely fucking destitute. Where did they get that cod? Evidence points to Cape Cod.
Interesting. We talked about that in cultural class.
It's a whole fucking thing. Like, there's some things behind it. Like, she might have known. Christopher might have been like, I know something's over there.
They got caught up in it. Let's end this episode now.
Caught up in it.
Before we go on another tangent, let's end this episode. We're only at 22, boys.
There's a second book called Salt. Guess what that one's about?
Salted cod. The salted cod is particularly good.
Connor's going to assault me if I keep this fucking rant going.
All right. Like, follow, subscribe. Thank you for listening to us. We got links in the show notes to all the things we referenced during this podcast, which was like two things because we are terrible at finding sources, but we are not wrong.
No, but this was a fun discussion. Like, I liked from the ones we had.
I have a bunch of tabs. Like, there are a bunch of URLs. We'll throw them in there.
I'll screenshot my tabs for you. Site sources. Guys, please be sure to rate and review the podcast where these new formats are kind of fun. So just let us know what you're thinking. Comment. I'll try to make a post on Instagram for you guys to comment on. Let us know what you think. Because I know people that follow the Instagram are the ones who do listen. We do have the Discord if you guys want to join that. And yeah, just please be sure to rate and review.
And with that, we are out.
Thanks for listening to a Life in Ruins podcast.
You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at A Life in Ruins Podcast, and you can also email us at alifeinruinspodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, make sure to bring your archaeologists in from the cold and feed them beer.
Connor, do you have un chiste?
Sí.
Sí?
This was sent in by our lovely friend, Jesse Toon. So you guys have already seen this, so act like it's funny. So, why do astronauts use Apple products instead of Microsoft products? Because they can't open windows in space.
Oof. Thank you. And with that, we are out.
This episode was produced by Chris Webster from his RV traveling the United States, Tristan Boyle in Scotland, DigTech LLC, Cultural Media, and the Archaeology Podcast Network, and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.